time for our local beat with Dave O'Brien of the Chronicle Telegram. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers here in Elyria on Broad Street, right across from the hospital. They're a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you will see why. Visit them in person. Visit them online at VandermarkJewelers.com. Dave, it is always great to catch up with you. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there, Bull, and just staying busy and trying to stay cool as well.
Well, you have had a lot of stories to cover since we last spoke, and I want to begin with something that you covered this past weekend with the protests at the Dinner Bell. What were some of your major takeaways from what you saw there on Saturday? It seemed like there was a lot of activity there.
Well, this is kind of an ongoing story that we've been following at the Chronicle for about the past 2 years. There have been a series of allegations, some of them confirmed, some sort of unconfirmed, but all of them very, very serious about how the owners and employees at the Dinner Bell, particularly the owners, the Reynolds family, have been treating, black customers over the past 2 years. 2 years ago, there was the allegation that someone was, a racial slur was directed at a black customer, Eric Bowens. He again returned this weekend to the Dinner Bell to protest. More recently, Andrina Holland says she took her children there to eat, and she was treated poorly. There was also a sign put out, by someone at the Dinner Bell out on their front lawn that basically said, "Black lives don't matter; all lives matter." It's been kind of a racial powder keg there, and we've spoken with the owners, we've spoken with a lot of the folks who said that they were treated poorly, and protesters returned again this weekend to again chant, hold signs, basically say that they felt they were mistreated. Several protesters that I talked to said that, they were still shocked that they had to fight for their civil rights to not be called racial slurs in the United States, and they asked a couple people who are white who came up and who were walking around, have you ever had to fight for your civil rights? Several of them said, no, I really haven't. But there was a crowd of about 30 people there. Waving signs, like I said, chanting. It was a really hot day, and they had water, and they were yelling at cars, saying, "Hey, Black Lives Matter." And many of the cars were honking in support. A lot of people throwing up their fists in support and solidarity. It was kind of tense for a little while because some people were walking around. Some customers came up to the people who were protesting and said, what are you here for? I was told that they tried to bring water and tried to give them, food, ice cream, things like that. And it was just a really, really kind of sensitive issue, kind of sensitive subject. And there was some real righteous anger out there on Saturday.
Well, and it was interesting reading your story. I was going to ask you about the passersby, because it seemed like most of the passersby were offering words of encouragement and support, but it seemed like you might have an occasional one that would drive through and kind of stir the pot a little bit and oppose whatever the message was. And it seemed like, for the most part, things were, I don't want to say peaceful, but it just did seem like that for the most part, they were able to get that message across.
It was tense. I mean, there was no violence. I didn't see anybody put any hands on anybody else, but it was a tense situation, and it's one of those that I think is going to continue. I think it's also notable that I think the owners of the Dinner Bell said that they had lost 8 employees, their car hops and cooks who had left their employ, in just the past 2 weeks, and so they have cardboard signs up outside. On their tree lawn, basically saying car hops and cooks wanted. There were a lot of folks there that, like you said, honking, passing by. I would say, 9 out of 10, passerby were supportive, and then probably the other, the other 1 out of 10 would shout things like "All lives matter," or "Get off the sidewalk," things like that. Nothing really super racial, you know, racially divisive. I didn't hear any, you know, I didn't hear any slurs, but there were folks who drove by, you know, on motorcycles and trucks and cars, whole carloads of people who were honking in support, waving and shouting. And it was just, you know, it was one of those things that kind of broke up the, you know, the peace and quiet, you know, of a Saturday out there. And, you know, there were just, it was one of those things. It was kind of sad to see that, you know, this is still going on in the United States.
Well, you mentioned the word divisive, and it seems like there were a lot of divisive things that were said and claimed, and dirty politics are certainly already in play. This kind of focuses on the battle between Gail Manning and Zach Stepp for the 55th Ohio House District race. What all is happening here, and what kinds of allegations were made?
So Zach Stepp's campaign, and Zach is a Democrat running against Gail Manning, who has been, you know, who served in the Ohio Senate previously and is now a representative there, a Republican. And Mr. Stepp's campaign said on Monday that basically a phone survey went out, and he called it negative campaign tactics that he linked to Manning, a charge that she denied, basically in the form of what's called a push poll that came out and was directed at some residents of the 55th district. Who might be voting for one or the other, you know, in this coming November, and basically was a negative phone survey. This is according to the Stepp campaign that allegedly included false statements about Mr. Stepp's stances on border security, how he feels about removing historic statues, and other quote misleading statements about him personally. You know, he said this tactic was intended to persuade voters rather than to gather their data, you know, on who they're voting for and that kind of thing. I have not personally heard the call. I have not received the call, and I don't have a recording of it. But basically, you know, Ms. Manning's not too sure, you know, about the situation in which this allegedly occurred. She said she didn't pay anybody to make the poll. Mr. Stepp says, you know, it's possibly her caucus. You know, down in Columbus, it's other Republicans who have done this on her behalf. She said she didn't know anything about it. Both said that they want to run a clean campaign. I think this is kind of the first, you know, the first shot across the bow in this particular campaign. And Ms. Manning also said, look, you know, it's kind of politics as usual. You know, it's sort of the name of the game. These kinds of things happen when there's a hard fought campaign, when there's a district that's up for that's up for grabs. So we'll see how far this goes. It's again one of those things. It's kind of the first time that this has really been an issue. You know, especially with all the pandemic problems that we have in the country. You know, there hasn't been a lot of real heavy campaigning. There's been some knocking on doors. Some campaigns have had to kind of step back from doing that to socially distance and to make sure that the COVID-19 doesn't get spread around. So I think we're looking at, you know, a little bit of a return to politics as usual in this one. And again, you know, we're just trying to tell both sides of the story and give the opportunity for the politicians to come out and say their piece.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Dave, you also wrote a story about a new judge being assigned to a civil lawsuit involving the death of a child and injuries to other folks in Pittsfield back in 2016. What are the details here, and why has a new judge been assigned?
So if for those that don't remember, back in 2016, a little girl by the name of Annie Flynn drowned in a pool in Elizabeth Zenda's backyard in Pittsfield back October 5th of 2016. Ms. Zenda ran an in-home daycare, was talking with somebody else, left the children unsupervised for less than 10 minutes. And basically Annie and her little cousin, Annie passed away, and her little cousin Jackson suffered some lasting brain injuries, from being in the water, according to a Lorain County Sheriff's Office investigation. So the Flynn family and other family members have filed suit against Mrs. Zenda, her husband, the property owners of that Pittsfield Township property. And this case has been going on for the better part of the last 2 years. Mrs. Zenda had been sentenced to 4 years in prison. She was let out after less than a year, about only 10 months in prison by a judge, which caused some anger in the community. And at this point in this lawsuit, in this civil lawsuit, it had been assigned to Common Pleas Judge Chris Cook. His magistrate, Jim Blazek, was handling the case, but he retired in June. And then when Judge Cook was looking at the court record, he realized that, oh, one of the parties in this case had spoken with him. One of the grandmothers of the children had spoken with him prior to him becoming a judge when he was still an attorney in private practice. She's also a county employee, and she had given him some information about the case. And he said, you know, for the safety and the fairness of everybody involved, he recused himself from the case. Asked Judge Ewers, who's the administrative judge, to assign a new judge. And it's looking like we're going to get a visiting judge, either a retired judge from somewhere, you know, somewhere outside the county, or a judge from somewhere outside the county who's able to hear this case as it continues. Originally, it had been reported to us that it was settled, but that was not the case. It was just that Judge Cook had to remove himself just to maintain the appearance of fairness. So that may I don't know if that's going to cause the case to slow down a little bit as the new judge gets caught up, but we'll see what happens down the line, and we'll keep reporting on it via the Chronicle Telegram.
All right, Dave. Well, we have come to that point in the interview where we get a chance to take a look back the last 7 days and see which scanner stories sounded the most bizarre, or perhaps for the most entertaining to you, Dave. So what kinds of scanner stories do you have for us this week?
Well, I'm going to go back a little farther than 7 days from our friends at NEO Scanner on Twitter. This is a great great follow for everybody. It's for anybody that has Twitter, it's a lot of things that go on, and some of them are kind of awful and terrible. But then we have this rather funny one from Dateline Parma. A disturbance on State Road where a business reports a man is trying door handles on the cars in the lot. He also had burn marks on his arms and had just tried to wash his clothes in the business's kitchen. The caller suspects that he was, quote, on something.
Wow.
I would concur with that assumption.
yeah, I would say so. Holy smokes. Jeez, oh man. Well, you know, there's a reason we go to these scanner stories, because they do provide some of us with comic relief, but we hope that whomever that was the call was made on, that they're able to get the help that they most certainly sound like they need here on the surface. Dave, we always appreciate the time, always love the conversation, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good to me, Bo. We'll talk to you guys then.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. On the local beat, it's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. You've got to stop by, and you'll see why I tell you every single week that they're a trusted name in jewelry. They're on Broad Street right across from the hospital. You'll have a terrific jewelry buying experience when you stop by the showroom and you talk to Jim Vandermark and company. They do a wonderful job of making sure that you're comfortable with your jewelry buying experience. You can also visit them online at vandemarkjewelers.com. That's vandemarkjewelers.com. We need to break, because coming up next, it's this date in Indians history on AM 930.